others also.
Ooh.
Gosh, who's that? Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God, of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them and Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay. So I call this one contention and confrontation. That doesn't happen in Christian areas, is it? All right. So let me ask you a question. What kind of thoughts come to your mind when someone takes you aside and says, "May I speak with you for a minute?" Oh, yeah, what did I do now? What have I done this time? Why is he confronting me when he has problems with dot, 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 dot? All those the defenses come up, right? Confrontation is just a natural part of life. And so even though we're in Acts, we're going to be looking at Galatians 6:1 most of the night, because that's where a nice outline about how to confront others in the Lord and in the Spirit is located, Galatians 6:1. So, who would like to read Galatians 6:1? Does anybody have it with them? So I don't have to turn my pages. Anybody have Galatians 6:1? Want to read it? Emily, stand up and read it, Galatians 6:1. Thank you. All right. So confrontation is inevitable. It's more of how it's handled that causes most of the offense. So, John Brown. Have you ever heard of John Brown? I'm sorry. Albert Brown. Sorry, not John Brown. John Brown's body lies a-moldin' in the grave. No, that's not that one. It's Albert Brown. You ever heard of Albert Brown? Albert Brown, Prince Albert and Queen Victoria. Yes, Prince Albert. So Albert Brown married Queen Victoria. Well, well, well. Well, one of the times they got in a big row in Buckingham Palace, and he went down the hall and closed the door, and she came running after him, and she went, "Open up in the name of the Queen." And he didn't open the door. The next time she just stood out there and went, "Albert, this is Victoria. Open the door." And it opened the door. And she knocked again. "Albert, dear, would you please open the door? I want to talk with you." Then he opened the door. So sometimes the presentation is the thing that gets most of the contention and confrontation and how to deal with it. And we don't do the presentation very well. Definition of confront: to cause, to face, or meet as to confront one with the proofs of his wrongdoing. Okay? That's a good definition. So in verse 36 and 37, it says that Barnabas, right? Paul and Barnabas are together. Barnabas was determined. And the word there is he had a resolve and he made up his mind. So he already had a resolve. I'm taking John Mark. Now, it's interesting because Colossians 4:10 gives you maybe a little bit of insight about why he had such a resolve and he made up his mind, is because John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. Oh boy, here we go. Nepotism in ministry. Right? What do you mean? That's my wife you're talking about. What do you mean? That's my son. I mean, there is so much nepotism in ministry, and it leads to a lot of contention, and we have seen it over the years. There's especially one denomination that's pretty well known for nepotism, because they end up having their sons as youth pastors, and down the line, you know, somebody's nephew and uncles and everything else. And, you know, it can lead to sharp disagreements. Because here's Paul, he's looking at it from the outside, he's like, this guy is a deserter, period. He left us, I don't want him. And Barnabas, son of encouragement, you know, is like, no way, give him another chance. And Paul is like, no way. And so they end up now we have two missionaries, you know, groups. And everybody looks at this story and they go, isn't that sweet? I mean, look at how the Lord developed. Now we have two missionary groups. But you do know that Paul later on wrote, when he's going to lose his head, send John Mark so he's profitable to me. So something happened in between there. You know, John Mark got his act together and went with Barnabas and, you know, did well. But for right now, there is a sharp disagreement. So, Galatians 6:1 is a nice model for Christian confrontation. So I'm going to look at three things. One is the qualification of the confronter, the purpose of confrontation, and the spirit of confrontation. Okay, those three things. The qualifications of the confronter, the purpose of confrontation, and the spirit of confrontation. Purpose of confrontation. It starts out, Galatians 6:1 starts out, brethren. Brethren. This is talking about brethren, and we're all brethren. That means everybody. It doesn't mean, well, Peter and Tony will take care of that, you know. That means everybody. Brethren, all believers, not just leadership. See? And it says in that passage, you who are spiritual, correct that person. So what does that mean? Well, we've talked about the fruits and the roots, right? You can't have one without the other. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. So, we're looking for the fruit if you're going to do some confrontation. So, you who are spiritual, the presence of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22-23. So, does the person who's doing the confronting, qualifications, see, are they walking in the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay. Are they living in the Spirit? That's Galatians 5:25. And are they led by the Spirit? So are they walking in the Spirit? Are they living in the Spirit? And are they led by the Spirit? Or are they walking in the flesh? Fleshly lust. I like to say that three times fast, you know. Fleshly lust. Fleshly lust, Galatians 5, 19-21. It's right before the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Christian con carne, Christian with meat. That's what it is. Ask the following questions before confronting a brother or sister. One, do I love this brother or sister? Do I love this person? Emotionally, spiritually, physically, well-being. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. You know, love. The love chapter. Do I love this person? Two, does my life evidence joy and peace? Now think about this. I mean, I really want you to think about when you've been confronted by leadership, when you've been confronted by a well-meaning Christian, when you've been confronted at work, whatever, it doesn't matter. Is this part of the template of this of the person that's doing this? So, do I love this brother or sister? Ask yourself, does my life evidence joy and peace? Philippians 4:4-7. Anybody have that one? Philippians 4:4-7. You know that one. Anybody want to read it? Come on. Philippians 4:4-7.
All right, I'll read it.
Okay, Maria, would you please read it?
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything.
Good. See, God's peace guards your heart and your mind. Doesn't say anything about your stomach. It says your heart and your mind. Okay? So, think about this. Does the person who is being confronted want to be like you that's doing the confronting? Yeah, I told you, I always tell you stories about Ron Mill, but I told you that one about when he says, you know, he says, you're like a soldier with lots of armor on. And he said, you know, Jesus, you know, people are approachable to Jesus. Because I'm like a warrior, you know, it's like, let's go, let's kill the vandals, you know, let's go. So does the person who's being confronted by you want to be like you? Third, am I patient, gentle, willing to do whatever it takes to help the confronted person change? Or do I just want to drop a bomb and leave? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering with us, that we should come to repentance. Do I have that same patience with somebody? Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are expert confronters, you know. They're, you know, pointing fingers and you know, shaping people up and stuff like that, but they're not willing to go the distance with the person so that the character issue is corrected. Now, I went out to the jail today, you know, and I saw somebody out there that I just saw this week. And it's, you know, it's kind of like one step forward, three steps back, you know. And yet, do you have, it's very easy to do a lecture or whatever, and the person didn't need a lecture, they just needed to know that, you know, how, are you at the bottom of the barrel yet? And then it's time to say, enough, I'm not going to do this anymore. But walk with them through it to get them restored. Okay, so after, am I patient, gentle, willing to do whatever it takes to help them as they walk through this? Four is, do I believe God can change my brother's life? Do you have the faith? Sometimes people have to borrow your faith. Do you have the faith to believe that the Lord can change this person? Matthew 17, 19 to 21. Jesus did not do many works there because of their unbelief. Do I believe that God will help this person? Okay? Do I believe that God will help this person? Okay. The purpose of confrontation is when somebody is overtaken in a fault, they're ensnared by the devil. And what happens when somebody is ensnared? You know, here's a couple scriptures. 1 Timothy 3:7. And 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. We use this one all the time. The servant of the Lord shall not quarrel, but be gentle to all, correcting those who are in opposition. Now, all the other versions except for the King James leaves off this word, in opposition to themselves. See, well, if you take that word off, then you think that somebody's in opposition to the servant of the Lord who's trying to help this person. No. Correcting those who are in opposition to themselves. They have self-opposition, which is one of our studies that we take people through. 2 Timothy 2:24 to 26. Okay? So correcting those who are in opposition to themselves. If perchance God would grant them repentance, that they may walk in the truth, that they may come to their senses, and escape the snare of the devil who has, past tense, taken them captive to do his will. So can a believer be taken captive to do the devil's will? I just went out and saw one today. Yep. Absolutely. But see, a lot of places believe, oh, no. You know, once you're Christians, you can't be influenced by it. It's like, what? Come on. I just read an article. It's called Unconverted Christians. And it's really interesting because that scripture verse, I think it's in Luke, that says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you, And Jesus says, and when you're converted, you're going to strengthen your brethren. Like, Peter wasn't converted? No. What was Peter doing? He was shucking and jiving and going, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. Remember? Remember our first sermon here was what? John 21. When Peter is in the boat and he's, oh, the Lord's out there. And the Lord's like, oh, didn't catch any fish? Oh, I'm sorry, you know. And then, do you love me, Peter? I like you. Do you love me, Peter? I like you. I'm fond of you. Are you fond of me, Peter? You know, and then he gets bummed out. When did Peter get converted? I think so. Because then he had boldness and he witnessed. Remember Resham saying? What's the sign of somebody that's saved, that's really a Christian? They make disciples. That's hard for us to understand because in our culture it's just, you know, raise a hand and get rededicated every week. And the same people are down at the altar every week. Right, Rose? So what happens when somebody's ensnared? We shoot our wounded. Okay? We lecture the fool. We look the other way and end up in denial, like the priest and the judge with the Good Samaritan, right? That's somebody else's problem. It says, restore such a one. The Greek is to set in joint, to mend something broken. It's a medical term, restoring. We need people who are honest, like Nathan in 2 Samuel 12:9, when he says, thou art the man, David. And he tells him the story about this ewe lamb, and David, even out of his mouth, says he should restore four times because the lamb was stolen. And he goes, you're the man. Yep. David, out of his own mouth, got his own judgment. Or how about Peter and Paul in Galatians 2:11? When Peter's over having lunch with the Gentiles, you know, and then he's over here having lunch with the Jews, and Paul comes up and goes, Peter, I smell ham on your breath. Are you been eating with the Gentiles again? Confronted them, because he loved them, right? So, the purpose of confrontation is what? To restore somebody who's been taken in a fault or ensnared by the devil. That's why you do it. You don't do it to put another notch in your Bible and say, I feel good. I just dumped my load on that person. All right, so last thing is the spirit of confrontation. What's the spirit? It's a spirit of meekness, gentleness, kindness, compassion, tenderness. Because in that Galatians, it says, consider yourselves, lest ye get ensnared. It's very easy to point fingers. And then what happens when you're in the who's gal, you know? Consider yourself, because nobody's blameless, so that you're not tempted yourself. 1 Corinthians 10:12, don't think that you can stand, lest ye fall. That's what it says. So how would I want to be treated? Right? That's what you got to ask. How would you want to be treated? You want to be treated like somebody just drop an atomic bomb on you and just walk away? How would you like to be shunned? Because you just don't fit in with this group anymore. Our culture has political correctedness and tolerance. Is really not loving. They're really not loving. They say they're tolerant, but they're tolerant to everything but the truth. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. There's wounds in friendships. You know, we've all gone through it. Are you going to allow somebody to go to hell feeling good about their sin, or are you going to confront them about it? My wife confronted somebody about their sin. Not me. That's a daily thing, no. She confronted this gal who's sleeping around and stuff like that, says she's a Christian, and they just don't want to stop. You know? But what are you supposed to do? You confront in love, because you don't want to see that person going down the wrong path. And not 2 weeks later, she She never got up from a nap and was dead. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that Tony's like Peter's shadow, you know, and, you know, falls on him or something. But she loved her enough to confront her about her behavior and her character, all the while she's having these Bible studies and all this other stuff. And it's like, excuse me, unconverted Christian? And so the delivery is as important as the content of the message. The emotional devastation that happens is horrible. So I've been confronted a number of times. And, you know, when it's done in love, you really learn and you really have a change. But when it's done hatefully, and when people use, especially when they use the scriptures on you, and they say you're a factitious man, and, you know, out of 1 Timothy, okay, you're a factitious man, and avoid that person and whatever, and it's just devastating, you know. So this one guy, he has coffee with me, and he's got his Bible out, and he's just going through 1 Timothy, and you're a contentious man, the whole thing, 1 Timothy 6, you know, the whole thing. And I'm like, you know, I want to pick up his hot coffee and throw it on him, but I'm not going to do that. But I'm like, what is the matter with you, you know? And so the Lord gave me a scripture verse about it. And it was like, whoa. And it's Isaiah 66:5. And when the Lord gives you a scripture verse about it, and you say, you know what, I just release that, and you let it go to the Lord, because, you know what, you can't rebuke a scoffer. It says that in Proverbs. You rebuke a scoffer, and it comes back on you. So this was the scripture verse that he gave me in this situation. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren, who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake. Yeah, they think they're doing the Lord's work. Saying, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they shall be ashamed. Wow. That's pretty heavy. We are not to abuse those who are placed under us. You can write this down, 1 Peter 5. 3. Well, I think so, because it looks like 30, but 1 Peter 5, 3. Well, I went like this because I thought it was a hair on there, but 1 Peter 5, 3. We are not to abuse those who are placed under us. You can check out that scripture. You're not to be Donald Trump and say, you're fired. Who wants to emulate him? He can't even have his hair, can't even stay on his head. No? Jeez. And of course, his relation, he's one of the top. I love these people that end up, you know, being experts in marriage, and they've been married 7 times or something, you know. This Barbara G. Angelis or something, you know. She writes all these books on marriage, be married 7 times. Okay. Go on. Parents are not to provoke their children. That's Ephesians 6:4. And bosses are not to threaten workers. Ephesians 6:9. So, back to our original questions about this confrontation. Do I meet the qualifications necessary to help restore a brother or sister in Christ? Spiritually, emotionally, character-wise? Do you want to reinvigorate their walk with Christ? Because you know why? You might be the next candidate to be on the receiving end. So again, do you want to treat somebody like you want to be treated? Yeah. No? So that's a good outline about how to approach things and making sure that, do you have joy and peace? Do you love the person? Do you believe that God can change them? Are you willing to walk through the change with them and not be tempted yourself? Because many times we accuse people of what we're doing. And that's when people accuse you of stuff, usually they're doing it. More than likely. So, it's great. They got now 2 missionary journeys and stuff, but look at the cost. Because Paul and Barnabas don't minister together again. And I really wonder, I thought, you know, if anybody needed an encourager, it was Paul. Because, you know, Paul is one, whenever he would go into a city and he'd stir everything up, and it says, and they lowered him over the wall in a basket, and there was peace in the city. No kidding. Because he's such an irritant, you know? And he needed somebody who was an encourager. And I think God put those two together like that. But, like I said, contention and confrontation happens in the Christian world. It's more how we deal with it. And, again, if we ask ourselves those questions, I think we'll probably be on a better end in the long run. So, okay, so now we're done. And now we'll pray for the meal. And now we can eat. See, the sermon wasn't as long as the prayer this time. So. All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us about contention and confrontation. Thank you that it's just inevitable. Lord, it's more how we deal with it. Thank you for having a model right in your word how to deal with Christian confrontation. And Lord, help us to remember these questions. Do I love this brother or sister who is going to be confronted with something? Does my life evidence joy and peace? Am I patient, gentle, and willing to do whatever it takes to help them walk through it? Do I believe that God can change my brother's or sister's life? So help us to be very careful when we do confront that, Lord, there is no such thing as a ministry of confrontation, that things come up in ministry, but, Lord, that we deal with things in an honoring way because they know that we are Christians, not by our confrontation, but by our love. So help love to be center in everything that we do. So bless our food, and thank you for the people that prepared our potluck tonight. And Lord, bless us next week as we get to go to see a movie and have a little fellowship, and help us to enjoy that night. In Jesus' name, amen.